Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by CatholicSingles.com is ringing in the new year with savings for singles. You can save 20% by using the promo code BREADBOX when you register for a new account. Come meet other faithful Catholics and make 2020 a year to remember.
Everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Lisa Hendy and Friends. So excited to be back behind the microphone again and to welcome today a special guest who shares something, a few things in common with me that I really love, and that's the University of Notre Dame and music. So joining me today on the show is Tim O'Neill, and Tim is one half of the fabulous music multi-million dollar selling recording duo, the O'Neill Brothers. Tim and his brother Ryan create beautiful music together from their home in Minnesota, where they were recently inducted into the Hall of Fame. We'll have to ask a little bit more about that. They've released over 40 CDs of their piano music, and it's a really beautiful, relaxing signature style. I know you're going to love learning more about what they create, and welcome to the show, Tim O'Neill.
Well, thank you. Just happy to join you.
Oh, it's a real treat. And I feel like you and I have been trying to thank you for putting up with my crazy schedule, because you and I have been trying to get you on the show for a while. And it's really fun now as we start a new year and as we're looking for things that uplift and inspire us to talk about your music. I want to ask, first of all, the question that I frequently ask my guests, which is just to share a little bit more about your story and where you are in your journey right now.
Sure. Ryan and I, as you mentioned, both grew up in small town southern Minnesota. We both now live back here after having lived in various places across the U.S. And as you mentioned, Notre Dame, both Ryan and I went there. But we've always had an affinity towards music as I grew up. I never played Little League, which almost every boy in Minnesota did in the summertime. And the funny thing is I would blame my mom for not letting me play Little League. But the reality was I could never throw a baseball worth anything as a kid. I never had that talent, but Ryan and I both have the talent, you know, straight from God, of playing and sharing music. We hardly even need to practice. We're just both on the same page, and we're just so happy to be able to share our music, as you mentioned, just relaxing, instrumental, inspirational type piano music.
So at what age did both of you start playing the piano?
Yeah, I was 5, and I'm the second youngest of 5 kids. And then Ryan started shortly thereafter. I think he was 7 or 8, and he's the youngest of 5 kids. And that was just kind of the thing to do. Our mom has a great ear. She's very musical. And our dad, he grew up on a farm in Wisconsin, and he likes to sing, but as he said, he was more of a barroom singer, you know, growing up and on the farm and just singing for fun. But yeah, it's our mom that would set the timer to practice for 30 minutes a day, so we can thank her for keeping us to stick with it.
And your music kind of blossomed when you got to college. Can you share a little bit more about what happened at Notre Dame and how it kind of led to the career that you're pursuing at this point?
Yeah, Ryan and I both started playing at St. Wenceslaus, which is the Catholic church right in New Prague, Minnesota. It's the third largest in Minnesota. It's a beautiful church, and we would play for weddings and just regular 5 o'clock mass on Saturday or funerals. And it wasn't until Notre Dame, it was my senior year, that was Ryan's freshman year. That's where we both started playing on 2 pianos in one of the, it was called the Keenan Review. We lived in Keenan Hall at Notre Dame, and there wasn't a lot of talent. It was guys getting dressed up as cheerleaders and making funny jokes. And there we were with just a little bit of musical talent. And when all the mostly females in the audience gave us a standing ovation after we played our piano duo for the first time, we thought, you know what, there might be something to this. So that's when the O'Neill Brothers was born.
That's amazing. Now, for people who don't know, the Keenan Review is a highly anticipated event at the university every year. And it is, I mean, during my days, I have to tell you, Tim, that so my class at Notre Dame, I think, was something like three men for every woman, and the university at that point was seven men for every woman, because I was in one of the early classes of women. And so the Keenan Review in my days was, you know, definitely like the biggest football players dressing up as the Notre Dame girls, because they always made fun of how ugly we were. So I'm happy to hear that it evolved eventually into piano music. That makes me really thrilled. So were you a music major in college?
You know, I wasn't. I sang with the Notre Dame Glee Club, which was a treat. It was about 60 guys, and we would travel all over the U.S. and actually around the world singing some liturgical music, but a lot of just fun, spiritual, rah-rah type music, you know, before football games and things. So I sang with the Glee Club, and Ryan did a lot with music, but neither one of us was a music major, actually.
That's probably actually very well-rounded of you.
Well, as they say, you know, in show business, there's four letters of show and eight letters of business, and you have to have a little bit of business background. So that's what I was. I was a business major, and I'm glad that I did that, because that's come in handy to, you know, really help make a living and to be able to share our music full time.
And so that's what I was going to ask you. Now, both of you work with music as your primary career.
You know what? I do. Ryan, you can probably appreciate this. I am one of five, as I mentioned, and three of us brothers worked at the same time in the music business back in about 2000, 2001. And our oldest brother, God bless him, he went to West Point, and he's very type A. And we realized after a couple of years that, you know what, it might be better just to have, you know, one of us run the music business and the record label, and then the other two kind of step in when needed because they have different talents. So to answer your question, when we tour, Ryan comes to work with us, but he now works with real estate and it does some other things in his time. But we're both still actively involved when we record and think of new recordings and different performance opportunities.
So how I wanted to ask you about that, because I'm a prolific listener of your music. I really love it because I'm a writer, and it's one of the few things that I can listen to when I write that actually creates a very positive environment for my workflow. Can't listen to anything that has words in it or garbles my brain a little bit too much. But you have such a broad variety of music. Now, how do you, what was the first CD, and then how do you decide together like what to record next?
Sure. Well, I think that was where the innate and Notre Dame degree of marketing came in. I studied abroad in Innsbruck, Austria, my sophomore year. And before I left, my mom said, well, what am I going to listen to when you're gone? So for her birthday, I made her back then a cassette of all of her favorite songs. I just went into the church, hung a microphone by it, and played through Edelweiss, Moon River, a lot of her favorites, just solo piano because it was just me. And when I came back from Austria, you know, 9 months later, she had made copies of that cassette for her bridge club friends and hospital auxiliary friends and teacher friends. And I thought, you know what, maybe there's a market here. And it was basically, that's how we got started, playing our mom's and her friends' favorite music.
Did you charge her for all those bootlegged copies?
No, I should have, you know, charged her for giving us the idea of recording, because that's what we did. So then it was shortly thereafter, it was my junior year at Notre Dame, that I recorded an hour of just peaceful Christmas songs. And that, to this day, is still one of our most popular ones, because it's hard to find, as you mentioned, just whether it's traditional songs, familiar songs, but something that's just kind of nice background, but something that just lets your mind wander and you can look out the window at snowflakes or whatever and just, you know, fill in the blanks with your own thoughts. It doesn't demand a lot of thought. It lets your mind wander and be inspired by God and what he has, you know, in mind for you. So we're just thankful that we have that gift to share.
So when it's coming time to kind of compile a CD, do you guys decide together on pieces that you think would be good to fit into the project, or just one?
Yeah, it comes down to arm wrestling. The other thing that we do is whenever we're out performing, we'll hear from, you know, some of our people that are fans or people that are listening to our music. They say, oh, have you ever heard of this song, or have you ever thought of that song? We'll take notes and that kind of lends us into an idea for more music. So we like to balance each album with a few familiar songs because that evokes a lot of emotion and memories. But then we also write about 50% of our songs, and that, as you mentioned, is just kind of meandering, peaceful music. So it's just always a fluid process of what songs that we record.
And did I, am I correct in hearing other instruments now on some of the tracks as well, besides just piano?
Yeah, we thought it would just add a little variety. My favorite instrument's the violin. Mm-hmm. So rather than just having our pianos, we might have a violin on a song or two, or an Irish D whistle, kind of a peaceful sound on a song or two, or cello. So we just kind of add that in just to kind of keep the listener guessing and wondering what's coming next instead of just solid piano music.
And is that the two of you playing, or is it guest artists?
That is guest artists. We do not have those talents to play other instruments. We call on some of the studio musicians here with the orchestra in Minneapolis. There's so many great performers here that they come into the studio and play with us.
Now, speaking of Minneapolis, I was perusing your Facebook page before we jumped on the call, and I noted your recent induction into the Hall of Fame there. Tell me a little bit about that and what that was like.
Yeah, that was a treat. This is the 25th year, 2019, of Ryan and I celebrating recording and performing, and we got inducted into the Minnesota Hall of Fame, which we just had back a month or so ago. But it was an honor to be inducted. You know, it's Prince and it's Bob Dylan and lots of big names, and there's a variety of, you know, polka, concertina players and professors at universities. It's a wide range of musical talent there in the Hall of Fame. So we're happy to be included in that talented group.
I can't imagine how proud your mother must have felt when that happened. That's amazing.
Oh, yes. She was there, and we had her stand up at the, you know, induction ceremony. So it was, yeah, she's, I'll tell her age, 83, because you'd never guess. In fact, she just texted us five kids last night about what she's doing this week. She's going on a mystery bus trip one day, and then the next day she's going up to Duluth, which is about 3 hours away, overnight with two lady friends to see the Christmas lights. She's never home, and so she's the one that just inspires us with her volunteering. She goes into the Catholic school still one day a week. She's a retired school teacher, so she's, you know, a saint that inspires us. And early on, she and Dad, our dad passed away about 15 years ago. He always supported our music, even though my first job after Notre Dame was living in the basement, you know, back at Mom and Dad's house mowing lawns. But, you know, they supported us, and it was that support that really helped us blossom into what we are today.
I think I have shared with you that our son Adam is a musician, and his path led from college over to Glasgow, Scotland, to study at Music Conservatory, and to the inevitable conversation about, you know, are you going to make this your life? And I'm so proud of my husband, who is very, as you mentioned, type A before. My husband is like this type A emergency room doctor and administrator in the hospital. And he is so supportive of Adam's vocation as a musician. But one thing he told him is, you know what, we want to set up an environment for you where you can kind of go all in on this, and where, you know, you take the next 5 years and really hit it hard and really focus on it, so that if, you know, if this is what you're meant to do, then you'll be the most successful that you can be, not in terms of finances, because that's not an issue, but just in terms of your satisfaction level and what you're creating. And for me, the constant thing that I'm always sharing with them is God gave you this beautiful gift, which he definitely gave to you and your brother. And, you know, how are you going to use this to glorify him? Whether you're explicitly playing religious music or not, you know, when you create something that inspires someone, you draw them closer to the source of that creativity. So I'm sure your mom feels the same with the two of you.
Yeah.
But the music business is challenging and increasingly complex given the distribution models. How can people who kind of love your music best support you with, you know, now we have Spotify and iTunes and all these different ways of getting music. What's the best way for the artist in terms of supporting their music?
Well, just one follow-up to your thought, and then I'll answer your question. I was talking with a photographer who's best friend of mine, and he, you know, is in his late 40s, as my brother and I are. And he was talking about how the photography business is getting difficult because, you know, everybody has their own phone, which is a camera. And I think a lot of industries are getting difficult. But I think if people open up their, you know, throw their worries aside and double down on their faith, you know, God works in mysterious ways and supports people. And that is very clear with my brother and me. We've never worried about what we're going to record next. And one of the big things that my dad taught us as a kid that I remember is that he said, and he was a chronic worrier, he just said, you know what, I've worried about a lot of things in my life and almost none of them came true. So he said, do me a favor and just never worry about things. So for anybody listening and wondering what they're going to do for them or their kids, and you have a passion for something, I think it's just diving in full speed, you know, donating your time and your talents, and things just always work out. And so I'm grateful that you're having this conversation. And to answer your question, people can listen however they love to listen. We have old-fashioned CDs, even though they're not so old-fashioned. We still listen here in our house, but we're on Spotify, just under the O'Neill Brothers. And Amazon, if anybody has a smart speaker or a, you know, Google speaker, you can just say, you know, Alexa, play the O'Neill Brothers. Mm-hmm. And all of it comes back to us and supports us to record more music. So however people love to listen, that's how they can find us.
I'm glad to hear that that is a good, that does provide support for you, because I'm not going to say it right now because she's right here in my office with me, but she's always, I'm asking her regularly to play your music. And
yeah.
And she provides. So that's a great thing.
Yeah.
Now,
she does.
Did I see something about one of your songs being used in a movie? Is that something that you guys do as well?
We do. We've had, because our music is just such, you know, background kind of underestimates it, but it's, you know, it's hard to find just so many different themes. We have Christian themes and Christmas and lullaby and wedding. So yeah, our music has been in a variety of movies and commercials, TV shows. That's what I mostly spend my time doing now that Ryan and I are not. We haven't toured now for about 5 years. We will be doing a Christmas tour next year, 2020, but I spend my time just trying to find placements for our music in a variety of different TV shows and commercials and things like that.
Wow, that's incredible. And I'm sure it's the kind of thing where once you make some of those inroads, then people come back to you because they recognize, you know, what you do. But
exactly.
Knocking on the doors can probably be a little bit challenging. Now, I'm curious about too, if you have, so one thing that I noticed on Facebook is one of your soundtracks is related to what did it just go out of my head? Rocket Man. You know, Elton John music. But do you have a favorite of the CDs that you've recorded? Is there one that means the most to you?
Yeah, you know, thank you for asking, because I do. It's kind of one of our unsung albums. Usually people love those, you know, familiar songs that resonate with them. But one of my favorites was back a few years ago when I lived in Ireland for 3 months. It was right after I graduated from Notre Dame and had been to Ireland a couple times. So I lived on the west coast of Ireland studying, you know, the music and just enjoying it. And so I recorded a CD called The Meeting of the Waters. That is just peaceful piano music. It has a violinist that's just absolutely brilliant on a couple songs. But that Meeting of the Waters, and that's just by Tim O'Neill. That was before Ryan and I joined as the O'Neill Brothers. That's my favorite of all of our albums.
Okay, I'm making note of it because I'm going to be checking that out right after we get off.
All right.
And, you know, one of your CDs that I listen to quite frequently is, I can't remember the name, but it's all kind of music related to the University of Notre Dame. Can you talk a little bit about that project?
Yeah, that was amazing. That was a highlight. We got to record with Regis Philbin as part of a project of talented Notre Dame alumni that play music. One of the last Notre Dame campaigns where they were raising money for financial aid and different scholarships, they asked us to produce a CD not only of our music, but of other instrumental and some vocal music by Notre Dame alumni. So that was The Spirit of Notre Dame, which is a two CD collection. One is real upbeat, Irish, you know, jigs and reels type music, and then the other one is more inspirational, quiet music, whatever mood you're in, whether it's Monday morning and you need to pick up or Thursday afternoon and you need to relax. But that Spirit of Notre Dame are two of the CDs that we recorded for Notre Dame.
And does one of those tracks include the voice of Father Hesburgh?
Yes, we got to record him up in his office, actually three different times. We've done now four different albums for Notre Dame, but one is him giving an Irish blessing, and then the other one is just him giving a Notre Dame blessing with the Notre Dame Glee Club, kind of chanting and singing a prayer in the background. But yeah, that was an unbelievable memory, and that will be timeless because, you know, everyone has a great memory of Father Hesburgh. And that's definitely one of them for us.
I never had the opportunity to meet him personally, but when my first book launched through Ave Maria Press, which is run by the Congregation of Holy Cross, and they're there, you know, situated right near Moreau Seminary on campus, my editor took my manuscript over and had a meeting with Father Hesburgh and sought his endorsement for the book. Which was a great, great gift to have him share some words of encouragement about the book. And so while I never met him personally, he's definitely, you know, someone that I count as a great, not just a great supporter of that book, but of, you know, creating in me a desire to serve. And I can see kind of the same in you two, along with your parents, that you were impacted by what you learned at the university.
Definitely. Was that your Grace of Yes book?
No, that was actually my first book is called The Handbook for Catholic Moms. And that's the book that he it was actually shortly before, I think, before he stopped being active. And so, you know, it was really a special thing that he took the time to do that. So I could just imagine the manuscript up there in his office. And I'm imagining you now up there in his office on the top of the library. That must have been a very heady moment. Did he take very many takes to do the blessing?
No, it was in one take. And then in true Father Hesburgh style, after we were all done, you know, he often ended his conversation with people with the phrase, "What can I do for you?" Which, you know, imagine that. So I've now taken that away, that everyone that I speak with, you know, I ask them when we're all said and done, what can I do for you? And it just goes for that, you know, the Beatitudes and just thinking of others and being a good listener. And so anyway, it was, yeah, an unbelievable experience to meet Father Hesburgh.
So you are a father, and are your children carrying on the next generation of family musicians?
Well, I'm happy to say they are. We have four kids, all in elementary school, and that's just one of the things they love is to play music, whether it's our son who can listen to a song and play it on the guitar, or our daughters who are left-handed, which I never knew that if you're left-handed, you have an advantage to play the violin. So they both play the violin and the flute and piano. So we sit down and we've had, you know, fun days of now we're playing some Christmas songs. I want to go and volunteer our time and put together a little half-hour show and play at some assisted living facilities now these next few weekends and on to many weekends. It's great for them to share their music and stage presence and confidence and all of that. But yes, I'm grateful that they love to play and share their music.
That's great. And they're seeing from dad and their uncle that it can happen and it can be a beautiful gift. It's funny that you mention assisted living. My mother is in a facility, and one of the greatest gifts or the residents there is a gentleman who comes in probably twice a month, and he plays piano and sings, and his kind of specialty, well, he's young and, you know, in his early 70s coming in for the residents, but it's very interesting to see these Alzheimer and dementia patients who many of them are almost entirely nonverbal or don't make a lot of sense some days. And when he comes in and plays their favorite songs from the 40s and 50s, they're like different people. It's really amazing to see what music can do for the mind. Have you had that experience?
You know what? I have friends that are music therapists, and that is on my top of my list of things to do. They say, and you can think of yourself, I won't ask you how old you are, but they say the age of 14. When someone is 14, that is some of the most memorable music. That if you find out someone's age and play the number one song or songs from that year, from when they were 14, that does exactly what you say. They think about things and they go right back and they do things if they're Alzheimer's patients. So yes, that is something that I want to do, is learn the number one songs from each of the years in the, you know, 40s, 50s, 60s, to be able to watch what happens and, you know, share that music with those people.
Well, so I'm 56, born in 1963, so that would make me in the 70s, which probably accounts for my love of Barry Manilow and Neil Diamond.
There you go.
John Denver.
Right?
John Denver. Funny, though, that my husband, who's the same age as me, will always play 80s music till he dies.
Oh, really?
He'll be an 80s music guy. But
sure.
He's a guitar player, too.
Some decades were just timeless. You know, the 80s were great, so...
How funny. Well, Tim, I'm so, so grateful for your time and for the gift of your music. How can people kind of follow you online and get to learn more about the gift of your music?
Well, two things. One, they can, you know, listen on anywhere. Just ask your smart speaker to play the O'Neill Brothers, or our website is pianobrothers.com. And if anyone's listening and if you work at an assisted living facility or a hospice facility or a hospital, we are actually donating our CDs. And if you want more information on that, just email info@pianobrothers. And we'd be happy to send you a few copies of any of our CDs. That's what we're wanting to do for anybody in the medical field. Or if you just have a family member that, you know, enjoys music, we want to donate CDs, so we ask people to email info@pianobrothers.com, and we'd love to share our music that way too.
Beautiful, and you've got a great Facebook page that people can follow as well. So we'll have links to all of this in our show notes. I'm so, so grateful for your time. And Tim, are there any kind of closing thoughts that you'd like to share with our listeners?
You know, it's a Monday morning here as you and I are talking, and as you mentioned, you know, we didn't sip enough coffee. No, I'm just grateful that we can share our music. And if anyone's having a tough time, you know, just I'll say prayers for them. And I ask that they say prayers for my brother and me, that we can continue to share our music. But I just really appreciate you having me on and sharing our story.
So friends, definitely check out the O'Neill Brothers. We will have links in our show notes to all of this beautiful music and many different ways that you can follow them and be encouraged by what they create. Tim O'Neill, I'm so, so grateful for the gift of your time and especially for the way that you you inspire me with the gifts that you share.
Well, thank you, Lisa. God bless.
Well, that is it for this week's episode of the podcast. Definitely, if you've enjoyed this, please consider leaving us a star review or rating or sharing the podcast with a friend by just clicking on that little button on your device that you're listening to. Your encouragement means so much and also helps me to get better at what I do and bring on even more and more wonderful guests like Tim O'Neill and the O'Neill Brothers. So until next time, friends, be well. God bless. Have an awesome week.
Redbox Media Programming is brought to you by... Looking for exceptional coffee delivered fresh to your door? We have the answer. Our friends at Grim Bean Coffee produce small-batch artisan coffee using top-tier coffee beans. The coffee is roasted when you order, guaranteeing the freshest coffee possible. Check out Redbox Roasts, a new line of Catholic-themed coffees available at www.grimbeancoffee.com/Redbox Media. Experience coffee like never before.